What a tremendous reminder this morning, Adam, that it is Jesus that leadeth us. That's what he was playing. Anyway, please stand in body or in spirit. This is the day that the Lord has made.
Let us rejoice and be glad
in it. It is good for us to be here. The Lord says, the days are coming when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah.
We shall call on the Lord from the least of us to the greatest.
The Lord will write the law on our hearts. The Lord will be our God.
And we shall be God's people.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We know our transgressions and our sin is ever before us. We have done what is evil in your sight, and you are justified in your sentence, and blameless when you pass judgment. We were born guilty, sinners when our mothers conceived us. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us according to your steadfast love. Create in us clean hearts, O God, and put a new and right spirit within us. Do not cast us away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from us. Restore to us the joy of your salvation, and sustain in us a willing spirit for the glory of your holy name. Amen.
In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Pray. O God, with steadfast love you draw us to yourself, and in mercy you receive our prayers. Strengthen us to bring forth the fruits of the Spirit, that through life and death we may live in your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
The first reading is from Jeremiah, the 31st chapter. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant that I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, a covenant that they broke, though I was their husband, says the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, said the Lord. I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. No longer shall they teach one another or say to each other, Know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, says the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity and remember their sin no more. The word of the Lord. Please read Psalm 51 responsively with me. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love, according to your abundant mercy. Blot out my transgressions.
Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin.
For I know my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Indeed, I was born guilty, a sinner when my mother conceived me.
You desire truth in your being. Therefore, teach me wisdom and my secret heart.
Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow.
Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones that you have crushed rejoice.
Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities.
Create in me a clean heart, O God, and put a new right spirit within me.
Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me.
Restore to me the joy of your salvation.
The second reading is from Hebrews, the 5th chapter. So also Christ did not glorify himself in becoming a high priest, but was appointed by the one who said to him, "You are my son. Today I have begotten you." As he says also in another place, "You are a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek." In the days of his flesh, Jesus offered up prayers and supplications with loud cries and tears to the one who was able to save him from death. And he was heard because of his reverent submission. Although he was a son, he learned obedience through what he suffered. And having been made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him, having been designated by God a high priest according to the order of Melchizedek. The word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to John, the 12th chapter.
Glory to you, O Christ.
Now, among those who went up to worship at the festival were some Greeks. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and said to him, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." Philip went and told Andrew, and then Philip went and told Jesus. And Jesus answered them, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly, I tell you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains a single grain. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Those who love their life lose it, and those who hate their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, there will my servant be also. Whoever serves me, the Father will honor. Now my soul is troubled, and what should I say? Father, save me from this hour? No, it is for this reason that I have come to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Then a voice came from heaven, "I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again." The crowd standing there heard it and said that it was thunder. Others said, "An angel has spoken to him." Jesus answered, "This voice has come for your sake, not for mine. Now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be driven out. And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself." He said this to indicate the kind of death he was to die. This is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise Jesus Christ.
You may be seated. We're not talking about Melchizedek today. That's like, I don't even know if I want to do that in a Bible study. That just sounds boring. Did you do this today? Sorry. Really sorry. I'm gonna move this thing because I don't want to get it dirty, because we will get it dirty if we don't move it. If we do it well, we won't. The problem is I'm involved. Tracy's like, "No, we're gonna..." There you go. She's like, "I want to iron that." Okay.
He said if he does it well, so yes, we'll need a sweeper.
So Jesus, he has spent a lot of time during this Lenten journey talking about death. Foreshadowing, I think is what they call it. So let's look back to Mark 8 from several weeks ago. He says this. We hear this from Mark 8. Jesus began to teach them that the Son of Man must undergo great suffering and be rejected and killed. And to make things worse, he kind of drags us into it, doesn't he? He says, if any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. And like we talked about then, I will repeat now, as much as we try to spiritualize this idea of taking up our cross, pretty much sounds like what it means like what it sounds, right? Take up your cross. Crosses kill people. Being a Christian is hard. And what's worse, it's not like it just comes up in the Gospel of Mark. No! It comes up in Matthew. If anyone become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. Sounds familiar. And again from Luke. But even worse from Luke, Luke says this, if anyone had become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross daily.
And follow me.
Daily, Luke. I can't even get weekends off. Come on. Daily. We have to do this every single day. But some respite. We come to the Gospel of John, where finally, for once, John does not utter those words. Not once. Not once does John tell us to take up our cross. Except I don't even really want to mention it. So right after Jesus tells us to take our cross in the synoptic gospels, and by that I mean Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Those are the synoptics. Right after Jesus tells us to take up our cross, he says some variation of, those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will find it or save it. And there's the rub. Because we hear a similar refrain from John's gospel today, don't we? Those who love their life lose it, and those who hate their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Except for it sounds even worse, because not only, like, we have to hate our life now? I don't want to hate my life. Does that mean that we just read John's version of take up your cross and follow me? I kind of think that we did. Except, I like it better. Take that, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Jesus gives us a metaphor that most of us in Crawford County, Ohio, 2,000 years later, can understand. Because take up your cross and follow me. Nyeh. The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly, I tell you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth, it remains just a single grain. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. So, farmers, who in here is or has been in their life a farmer? Norman! Brian! Who in here has family members who farm? Yeah? Right? Or have farmed? Any neighbors back here? Neighbors who farm? How many of you, I want to see your hands, drove by a farm to get here today? Okay, how many of you know what a farm is? Thank you. Thank you. So, farming. When we farm, we need the right soil, don't we? Soil, right? Walmart sells this, potting mix. All right, you ready, Tracy? We're going to rip this open. We're not going to give this soil the Cheerios treatment, don't worry. Well, not intentionally, we're not. So, if you want to help me plant something today, come on up. So we're going to talk about soil first, right? So my potting mix, it came pre-prepared. So tell me, what does this say? Earthworm castings. That is casting. What is an earthworm casting? I thought it said casing. Anyway, it's probably poop, right? So this stuff comes with earthworm poop. It is ready to go. All right, Norman. How do you prepare a field to be farmed? Well, sure. Plow it? Disc it? Yep. Okay. Well, don't get to planting. So you plow it, you disc it again. You add any amendments to the soil? Like, oh, I don't know, the stuff that I smell? Do you throw poop on it at any point? All over? Yeah, I know, it's the worst. Animal poop, right? So we fertilize our soil, we plow it, we disc it, we prepare the soil, right? So, I've prepared my soil. Well, Pennington prepared my soil. They added earthworm castings, which apparently is a nice way to say poop. Box cutter today. You guys are in my blood circle. Tracy is so nervous right now. I don't even want to look at her. Hold this upright. Do not spill it. Tracy will. All right. So you prepare the soil. And then you grab your, I think this was what Jesus was talking about. You grab your little biodegradable peat moss thing. Looks kind of like egg cartons. And you grab your little shovel that I'm sure Jesus had one of these. All right, put that down there, Lydia. Okay, get me a scoop of soil. Use your hands. Farmers don't get their hands dirty. Hey, any mess that we make here, Tracy, not my fault. I told them to not make a mess. All right, thank you. All right, next, Ben. Here, I could probably make this easier. Oh. Yeah. I fairly frequently do a lot of things that people tell me not to do, Ben. All right. I think we have enough soil. The field is prepared. Okay. Don't let us spill that. So, now, and this isn't back in the day anymore, Norm. So what I'm told, at least from the folks over at North Robinson, now they do things like check the soil's temperature and, oh, whatever. And then they do something that I'm sure you never had. They look at AccuWeather, right? They make sure the time is right. If there's a storm coming, you don't send the tractor out into the field, do you? No, you don't want to get the tractor stuck, right? So when you are farming, when you are getting ready to plant, timing, it's everything, right? And what? Oh, stop it! Okay, it was a figure of speech, Norm. Timing is part of it. Do you plant in the middle of winter? Don't talk to me about winter wheat. I don't care. The timing is important, right? It's not everything, but it's important. Would you agree, Norm?
All right.
He called me out on my, you know. So, We're not planting wheat today. I do have some sunflowers, some autumn beauties. These are great. They get, 4 to 6 feet tall. It's going to be great. And it says that we should plant them from May to June. It's not that yet, but we're starting them ahead of time, and we're roughly starting them around the time that you should be starting them. So, she's like, now she's calling me out. March is around May? Okay, hold on. Now, here is, to me, the most, just the worst part of farming. If I was a farmer, this is the worst part. You go and you spend money. So I spent, for these seeds, $1.44, and I really don't want to push them underneath that dirt. Why? Because it doesn't make sense. You're going to go spend thousands upon thousands upon thousands of dollars worth of seeds, and you're going to do what with it? You're going to bury it in the ground? Didn't Jesus, like, get mad
at
the one dude in that parable because all he did was plant the money into the ground? So we're going to plant our money into the ground, Norm. This is the best way. He says it right. Okay, now you're going to take that and you're going to push it down into the soil. A few in each one. It'll be great, I'm sure. What if they don't grow? Means you guys. All right, make sure each one gets some. Hey, the long sermon's their fault. They're taking too long. Are you guys done? So, all right. And now comes the worst part of farming, right? We're not watering today. We stare. We just sit here and we wait, right? We stare at it. Okay, in theory, you water, right? But we wait. I don't see anything. Is it coming up? No, you have to wait, right? We have to wait for these seeds to sprout out of the soil, right? All right. Thank you all. Yeah, you're done. Unless, well, nope, we're not done. We're going to wait until they sprout. Longest sermon ever. All right, have a seat. Thank you all. So, you plant your seeds. You bury thousands upon thousands upon thousands of dollars of seeds down into the soil, and you wait, and you hope, because you hope, Norm, you hope that you prepared the soil correctly, right? You pray that you plant it at the right time, and that you get the right mixture of sun and rain after you planted them, and then you pray some more, because guess what? Farming is an exercise in faith. Would you agree? Jesus. Gosh, you just got to say yes. All right. Yes, it's an exercise in faith. Norm said it. Jesus, he had faith. And I know that's not how we normally think about Jesus. It might be weird to think about Jesus having faith, but in reality, the faith of Jesus is everything here. It is the faith of Jesus, in fact, that saves us. It is Jesus' faith that told him that the time had come. He said so today. It is Jesus' faith that told him that he had done everything he could possibly do to prepare the soil. It had just the right amount of earthworm castings and he mixed in the right amount of pig poop, right? It is Jesus' faith that told them that he would be buried in the earth for 3 days, and that wouldn't be it. He would be resurrected. It is Jesus' faith that told him that all of his earthly work would bear a stalk loaded down with fruit. So, we're going to switch this metaphor around a little bit today. Jesus talked about wheat. We're going to talk about sunflowers, as you might expect, since that's what we planted. I have to tell you, it's been a long time since I planted any sunflowers at my house. And still, every single year, I get what we will call volunteer sunflowers. And we always let them grow. And I have a theory on how they get there. And my theory might be wrong, but I really like it, so I'm going to stick with it. It's not birdseed. No, it's not. It comes through the bird's digestive tract and down into the soil. That's right, because once upon a time I planted sunflowers. The birds ate the seeds out of those sunflowers, and then they pooped. And they had seeds in those, and it was planted. And it's now a sunflower seed fertilizer combo, right? And then that lies dormant, it dies, and it sprouts in the spring. So Jesus here, he's our original sunflower. Jesus, he's no pooped out sunflower seed, but he's a sunflower seed. He bore fruit, and he said, that's it. There's nothing more I can do. I've prepared this earth for you. I have prepared the disciples. They are the fruit. And then he ascended. He left. He left us hanging. He handed his church over to the fruit of his life, to the fruit of his death and the fruit of his resurrection, his disciples, right? And those are what I'm going to call the first pooped out sunflower seeds. They're long gone, right? They're long gone. And so are the ones that came after that, and the ones that came after that, and generation upon generation upon generation. And now, when I look out at all of you, what is it that I see? A bunch of sunflower seeds that may or may not have been through the digestive tract of a bird. And I love this metaphor. Because to me, it's way better than the idea of taking up your cross, right? Because taking up your cross, it just doesn't make sense to me. But the idea of traveling through the digestive tract of a bird in order that more sunflowers may come and grow after you kind of points out that this Christianity thing isn't easy, but the fruits of it. Look at these. Are those pretty? The fruits of it look like beautiful sunflowers. Can I call my mom a pooped out sunflower seed?
Yes.
Oh, wow. Her granddaughter throwing down. So if you, what? Not to her face. I've probably, never mind. If you ever want to feel like a pooped out sunflower seed, involve yourself as an adult leader in scouting. Huh? You know that? Yeah, he knows that. Ron knows that. So, a lot of you know this, but I'm a cub master in Upper Sandusky. Why is that? Because once upon a time, my mom was eaten by a bird and pooped out into being a den leader in Bakken's, Ohio. She was my den leader. And she stayed involved with scouting all the way through Scouts BSA until I aged out of scouting, is what they call it, at 18. And then she stopped being involved in scouting, right? No. She decided that she would stay involved for close to another decade with that troop. And I really just didn't understand why she did that. She's a very busy person. Why did she keep being involved with that troop? And this week I finally figured it out. Because she hates her life. Now, I don't mean that in the way that you think I mean that. John's gospel says it, says you must hate your life, right? Rather than say you lose your life, you hate your life. So this word hate, it's a pretty strong word. So the word in Greek, I went and I looked it up. It's missio, right? This word missio can be taken to mean to regard with less affection or to love less. So put differently, my mom doesn't hate her life. She loves her life less than she loves me. She loves her life less than those that she helped grow into well-rounded adults. Well, I'm an adult. Through the scouting, and I'm kind of round. Set you up for that one. Through the scouting program. Man, tough crowd. Norm's not giving me the answers I want. I'm being called round. Anyway, it's fair. Believe me when I say this to you. Being an adult leader in scouting, and Ron will agree with me, you kind of have to sort of hate your life just a little bit. Okay? So as an adult leader, my mom died to herself because she had faith that this death would bear fruit. That from this death would emerge another generation of, all right, scouts, help me, trustworthy, loyal, helpful, friendly, courteous, kind, obedient, cheerful, thrifty, brave, clean, and reverent adults. Right? And faith is the right word. Faith is the right word because she didn't know when she sunk all of that time and energy into it, whether any of us would grow up to live out that scout law. But faith told her that someday there would be another generation of pooped out sunflower seeds that came after her. Did I mention you have to hate your life to be a scout leader? A couple times. Well, that really happened to me this week. I had a parent break the eighth commandment on me this week. Now, Geneva, you were telling me how much you love talking about the commandments. Eighth commandment. What you got? Anybody, what's the eighth commandment? Come on! Were you sleeping? No. Eighth, fine, I'll just tell you. But I'm going to preach on the eighth commandment again now.
Yes.
Eighth commandment. Don't talk smack about your neighbor. Don't bear false witness. Well, this parent talked a lot of smack about me this week to one of the other leaders. And when I found out, as you might imagine, my head, it turned, my round head, right? It went from its normal shade of pretty much bright red to an even brighter shade of red to purple to my head blew up. I was really, really angry, right? And I lost my place. And after spending 10 minutes breaking several other commandments, by talking about this with my lovely wife, Andrea, trying to process this, I finally said to her something along the lines of, how do I stop this? Because I got to the point where I just didn't want to be consumed by it anymore. I just wanted to move on. And you know how I mostly moved past it? Mostly. By forcing myself to answer a really difficult question. Why am I a cub master in the first place? Do I do it so I look good? Do I do it so I look good to all the parents and all the community members? Do I do it so, I can set myself up to be talked smack about? No. I realize that I'm not called to be a cub master so that I look good in the eyes of the smack-talking parent or any other parent. I'm a cub master for the smack-talking parent's child. I'm a cub master for my kids, including the one over there, you know, trying to break the pew. I'm a cub master for all the other kids in scouting. Because here's my hope. My hope is that 25 years from now, maybe just a few of them will hate their lives enough to be pooped out seeds born from this pooped out seed that was born from the pooped out seed that is my mom. Do you follow that?
Yeah.
If you want to be a pooped out seed, Lydia, I would love that. We are the fruit of the many someones who died to themselves that we might live in Christ. Not just through Cub Scouting, right? But through all walks of this life. We, the pooped out sunflower seeds that we are, and the fruit that we bear, are directly descended, albeit through a whole lot of generations of pooped out sunflower seeds from the original seed, Jesus Christ. He is the one who prepared the fields when he became human and lived among us. He is the one who would die and be raised and bear much fruit on this earth. And he said, "You're ready. You are ready." And he ascended. He did that knowing that we would carry on his church. We have been freed to be seeds, right? Because of the work that Jesus Christ did through his life, through his death, through his resurrection. And we will undoubtedly bear much fruit for his church, for Cub Scouts, for Girl Scouts, and for this world, right? And for that I say, thanks be to God. Amen. We got some work to do here. Let me get this straightened out.
I invite you now to join me in professing what we believe using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God.
Trusting in God's promise to reconcile all things, let us pray for the church, the well-being of creation, and a world in need.
God of the covenant, through the church you draw us into community. We give thanks for the means of grace around which we gather and for those who bring their many and varied gifts to worship. Inspire writers, preachers, musicians, artists, worship and lay leaders, and those gifted in the use of technology whose creativity adorns our gathering spaces. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great. God of all that exists, you lavish the earth with extravagant beauty. Preserve the rich and complex diversity of all living things. Support local, national, and international efforts to protect the gift of your creation for future generations. We especially lift today, recognizing the power of that creation, that it is sometimes destructive. We especially lift then those in Ohio who have been impacted by tornadoes this week. We pray for those families who have lost loved ones. We pray for those whose lives have been upended, who have lost homes, who have no place to live, who have lost their businesses. Repair and restore them. Make them whole. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great. God of the nations, you desire peace and plenty for all people. Defend those who challenge oppression and expose corruption. Support advocates for human rights, social justice, and welfare of children, especially Lutheran World Relief and Lutheran Immigration and Refugee Services. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great. God of goodwill, you restore what is broken. We pray for any experiencing estrangement, conflict, or abuse in families and intimate relationships. Protect and comfort all who are vulnerable, especially those who are captive, either institutionally or to their own bodies. Relieve all who live with chronic illness, suffering, and pain, especially George Bowden, Holly, Patty, Ken, Robert, Jake, Tony, David, Ed, Marcella, Pastor Tim, Peggy, Sally, Bobby, Nancy, Caleb, Jim, Karen, Sandy, Bill, Linda, Wilma, the family of Susan Sheldon, Daryl, Walt, those who are homebound, and those who are in assisted living facilities. For all we name, either aloud or in the silence of our hearts. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great. God of every time and place, you are with us. Support ministries of prayer and presence in this congregation, especially Prayer Shaw, the Meal Ministry, the Hope Team, those who provide home communion, and our continued partnership with Mill Creek and its residents. Move us to reach out to any who are homebound, lonely, grieving, in treatment, incarcerated, or ill. Hear us, O God.
Accompany us on our journey, God of grace, and receive the prayers of our hearts through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. And now may the peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
Please share a sign of God's peace with one another.
Let us pray. Jesus, you are the bread of life and the host of this meal. Bless these gifts that we have gathered, that all people may know your goodness. Feed us not only with this holy food, but with hunger for justice and peace. And all God's people said, Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also
lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior, Jesus Christ. You call your people to cleanse their hearts and prepare with joy for the Paschal feast, that renewed in the gift of baptism, we may come to the fullness of your grace. And so, with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn, saying, Holy, 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 holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna in the highest. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me. Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people. For the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me. We pray together as Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Unless a grain of wheat falls to the earth and dies, it remains just a single grain. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. And we have wheat enough to make bread. Come to this table as we share together the bread that is the body of our Lord Jesus Christ.
This is the body of Christ broken for you. This is the body of Christ broken for you. This is the body of Christ broken for you. Andrew, you are a beloved child of God. This is the body of Christ broken for you. This is the body of Christ broken for you. This is the body of Christ broken for you. This is the body of Christ broken for you. This is the body of Christ broken for you. This is the body of Christ broken for you. This is the body of Christ broken for you. This is the body of Christ broken for you. This is the body of Christ broken for you. This is the body of Christ broken for you. This is the body of Christ broken for you. This is the body of Christ broken for you. This is the body of Christ broken for you. This is the body of Christ broken for you. This is the body of Christ broken for you. This is the body of Christ broken for you. This is the body of Christ broken for you. Broken for you. This is the body of Christ broken for you. Christ broken for you. This is the body of Christ broken for you. May remain seated. And now may the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace.
Amen. Generous God, at this table we have tasted your immeasurable grace. As grains of wheat are gathered into one bread, now make us one loaf to feed the world. In the name of Jesus Christ, the bread of life. Amen. Amen.
Can stay seated. Don't get up. A few announcements this morning. All right. Check the bulletin boards, yada, yada, yada. There's stuff sign up for. Readers, coffee cart. Do we still need people to bring stuff for Tuesday? No. We got all the chili we need, I think. Sounds good. Thank you if you signed up. There will be a Galleon Appreciation Luncheon for the city departments this Tuesday from 12 to 4 o'clock p.m. here. So, and we have people signed up to work at that as well. Is that a true statement? Yes? Meal Ministry. Awesome. So thank you all for doing that for the workers of the city departments here in Galleon. We will continue, actually, Geneva, we will conclude our Ten Commandments series that I can tell you like so much on Wednesday. That will be at 7 p.m. at St. Paul. But if you guys can't start telling me what the Eighth Commandment is, we might have to do it again. Anyway, and then next Sunday, we begin Holy Week. See the palms? We're going to chop those trees. No, we're not going to do that. But we begin Holy Week, right? Palm Sunday. And then next Thursday is Maundy Thursday. It's going to be here. I'm going to wash your feet, all of you, whether you want it or not. I'm going to have a garden hose. Anyway, Friday is not this Friday, but it will be Good Friday, and it will also be here at 7 p.m. So, but this week, finish the Ten Commandments at Geneva's request. Are there any other announcements this morning? Mike? So what you're telling me is this is for all the marbles. Or darts?
It's win or lose week one, our championship.
Oh.
And then next week is our tournament.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
We're going to win no matter what.
All right. And then if you haven't noticed, we did something a little different with the gathering area.
Hopefully it's provides more space for people to gather and sit and just be in fellowship and communion with one another either before or after the service. So please take advantage of that. Thank you for all who helped with that. I know, how many Lutherans does it take to change a light bulb? Change! I hope that everyone can adapt. And with that, hear this blessing. Please stand. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord's face shine upon you with grace and mercy. May the Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be with you now and forever. Amen. Amen.
So now go in peace and bear this fruit.